As I said last week, this is the idea of the lost. It's just huge to me. It's just so important. And we talked just a couple points here. Great, amazing verse. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's kind of, now I'm honest with you about my prayer, is that I'm not really sure what else there is when it comes to the Christian life for me. I'm going to speak for myself, except trying to figure out how to share the gospel with someone. And I can tell you right now, driving here, I brought someone with me, and we talked, shared the gospel with him for, poor kid, for 40 minutes in the car. It's a captive audience at that point, okay? But I just need you to understand that I feel this, I understand it, and I just want to continue to have the same heart, and I just want to encourage you to have that heart too. And that all that I asked you last week was that we need to start with prayer. It's just praying. And I told my wife when I was coming here this evening that I feel like the Lord's taking me to a new level. I get to focus in on evangelism for the first time ever in my ministry. And I feel and sense that God's taking me a new place in evangelism personally. And I don't know if it's because of the prayers or what, but I just know that that's where we start. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers, and I am one of his laborers. Sometimes when we talk to unbelieving friends, lost people, it kind of can look like this, you know? And they're just put off and taken aback, and they just don't like to be preached at. And if you walk into my bookstore, I probably have about 250, 300 books on apologetics, on defending the faith, and evidences and proving the existence of God and proving the resurrection, things like that. But even though many people read these books, I'm not sure if they're using them as a resource for evangelism. A lot of it is for knowledge, you know, not for evangelism. And so what I want to do is marry both those ideas, is the apologetics and the evidences and defending the faith with how do I do something like that. So that's kind of what we're going to work on today, this evening, actually. It's important that we combine these two ideas, all that evidence and all those things that we have, with how do we do this. So tonight, I'd like to begin the process of teaching you some principles from Scripture on how to witness today. And more importantly, or important also, is the measure of success. Because I think that discourages a lot of people. Am I successful in what I'm doing and how I'm sharing? You know, it was great last week. I talked to a lot of people about evangelism and the situations they were in. I asked you last week that if you need me in that area, just talk to me. I know how to, what's the next step with people, what not to say, what not to do. But I know that there's these principles that need to be understood and how to do this, but measure if you're being successful. I think I can teach you whether you're being successful. That way, you'll realize, oh, that's the goal there, Eddie. That's what I'm trying to do. And I have been doing that great, you know, as opposed to, well, I haven't led anybody to the Lord ever. Or I haven't led anybody to the Lord in 10 years or something like that, you know. Well, that's not necessarily the success part. So I want to teach that part. But before we start looking at these scriptures and these ideas, there's a point that is above all these points when it comes to evangelism and sharing our faith that I think sometimes we forget. And this is it, okay? Our problem, my problem in evangelism is not really one of methodology, the method. I tease you when I say I can lead people to the Lord with the four spiritual laws, the six steps to Christ, the eight steps to Jesus, the 10 steps to whatever. I have them all in my head. You know, and I've read everything. So my problem, if I'm honest with myself, it's not methodology for me. It's not the how-to. And I hope maybe tonight that you can look at yourself and wonder, you know, it's probably for me too, is that it's not method. I kind of know, you know. I think our problem is really an issue of maturity when it comes to this. Am I a mature individual in this area? In Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul talks about as many as would be mature, as many as want to grow up. And that's a choice. That's a conditional statement there. You might want to grow up in this area. You might not. So I think the first issue before evangelism is, where am I at as far as growing up in my own personal life? So my biggest problem is not the methods. I know how to do this. I do know what to say in almost every single situation. My biggest problem is I need to have a greater heart for God when it comes to this. This little part of the sermon is, I feel that once I get done with this little part of it, that should be enough. But unfortunately for you, it's not enough. We've got to continue on. But I just want you to settle in on this, you know. I need to have a greater heart for God in this area of my life. And I think this is for a lot of people because to be honest with you, for some people, we don't never give it another thought potentially after last week or this week, you know, until Steve calls me up to talk about it again or something like that. And I hope that's not the case. I don't want it to be that way. But I do think that this is the biggest issue when it comes to the area of evangelism. Do I have a great heart for God in this area of my life? And I believe that many people have this same problem. My biggest problem, potentially your biggest problem, is that we need a greater heart for God. And if you and I have a greater heart for God, then some of the things that I'm going to tell you today, this evening, may help you. But it starts, I think, with this. Let's not confuse what the priorities are, what the priorities should be. Our priorities should be that we should develop a greater heart for God in this area. So it's not method, you know, it's about maturity here is what I believe when it comes to this area. And I really believe that, you know, and I have no idea why from the very beginning this is all I've ever wanted to do. I have no idea, and I have no idea why it is so many people struggle in this area. And I hope to be able to give you some tools to be able to understand this. But I'm just going to take a moment and say a prayer about this part because I just think this is so critical. Just having a greater heart for God in this area. So let's pray. Father, this is such serious business. And I know that I can get up here and preach a message that is exciting and move fast moving and things like that, but we need to really understand this, that in this area of evangelism, we need a great, great heart for God. We need to be mature believers in this area, Father. And I'm just asking you, Father, that not just this evening, but tomorrow for this church, with everything we're doing, that we would continue to have a great heart for God in this area of evangelism. And I pray, Father, that we don't see it as a very complicated, hard thing. There's just some basic facts that need to be understood. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead, Johnny. This is cheesy, but you'll like it. Just give it a moment here. We worked on this a little bit. Thirty-5 years later.
Hello, may I ask you a few questions? What do you want? Does absolute truth exist? Absolutely not. Is there God? No God, no devil. What do you think about Jesus? Never existed, just a patriarchal myth. What do you think about the Bible? It's hate speech.
I've been a Christian about, you know, 32 years, so the 35-year span makes a lot of sense, especially knowing that I geared myself up from 30 years ago for dealing with evangelism in different ways. And now I am doing evangelism in a different format. And so there's no doubt about it that there is a huge challenges in evangelism today. And the significance of that picture, you know, is that you had truth there, but it's eroding. It's eroding, just like that little movie that we just saw there. It's not easy just to witness to people. It's not as easy as it used to be. I remember when a good track used to get the job done. I've used these for such a long time. It's now on my iPhone, actually. And I've used my iPhone to share it with someone about a month or so ago. But I used to be able to take a track and go knock on doors and share the gospel and explain it and have that person pray. And I did that to many, 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 many people. I remember one time playing basketball in Commerce City right next to Derby Bible Church. It was about 9 o'clock. The custodian closed the gym. I ran home. I got home, actually walked home, and I got into the house, and my wife was there. Bonnie was there, and I was bothered. And I can't remember the gist of that. I said, but I got to go. So I took off, and I took off running back to the rec center. He had already closed it. Everybody was gone. And I was just pounding on doors, trying to get in there. And finally, the janitor answered the door, and his name is Lopa. And I said, Lopa, I just need you to know, I got to share this with you. And I had one of those, and that's what I did. It took me about 5 to 8 minutes to do it. And I said, Lopa, do whatever you want to do with it. But I had to do it. So I've used these so much. And you could lead people to the Lord by this, and I think I can still use them today, but it's not as easy as it used to be, I believe. It's not as easy to get people to accept Christ by reading a little booklet, if you haven't noticed that. And the reason is because even though the gospel may be simple, that getting the gospel is not always so simple. Getting the gospel into somebody is just not that simple anymore because of this erosion that we see up here. We have an erosion in our society. When it comes to truth, it's all relative. We do not believe in absolute truth except her absolute truth, which absolute truth doesn't exist. That was her big thing. And because of this, it's hard to build a bridge to in people's lives when it comes to sharing the gospel with them. So there's other obstacles. There's rejection of moral absolutes, the skepticism of our society, and indifference towards truth. There's a lot of different obstacles to this thing. So I don't know if you know, but in Chinese, the word for sinner can be translated as criminal. And since most Chinese do not see themselves as criminals, they don't see themselves as sinners. And that's kind of the problem that we'll face today if we don't understand some of the cultures and the things that we're dealing with today. There are absolutely no absolutes, according to certain people, it seems. That's how they look at it. That's how they push things. And Vitha's book, it says, it's hard to proclaim forgiveness of sins to people who believe that since morality is relative, they have no sins to forgive. It's true. The attitude of that second part of that video there was, you know, hey, leave me alone. You know, there's nothing wrong with me. I don't need any kind of forgiveness. And he is so right in the times that we're living today. It's hard to proclaim forgiveness of sins to these people because, hey, I'm not a sinner. I have people like that in my life. Do you have friends like that in your life? Your neighbors, your family, your coworkers? Do you have people like that? And this is what makes it more difficult to win people for Christ. It's one of the things, and there are many other things, but it's definitely one of the things. So it seems to me that if you and I are going to be effective today, we need to repackage our evangelism. We need to include a new element that most of us, maybe including myself, and I started to learn a lot about this in the last couple of years, have not been taught. And this is the element that I want to give to you. This element is what I call pre-evangelism, and I kept using the word last week, that needs to be taught and needs to be understood in churches. And the basic idea is that if evangelism is planting seeds of the gospel, and that's what we're all thinking we're doing, trying to plant seeds of the gospel, pre-evangelism is tilling the soil of their mind and heart, preparing them to at least be willing to listen to the truth. People aren't willing to listen to the truth anymore because as soon as they know that you're a Christian, forget it. As soon as they know I'm a pastor, they can be completely turned off. But pre-evangelism comes directly out of God's word and how it was done. So if you want to think about it this way, if you think about this, We used to, the statistics were so high when you invited somebody to church that they would come. Now, the statistics are that if you invite somebody to come to church, only 4% of those people actually come to church. 4% of those people begin to come to church because we're trying to plant a seed in their lives, but we haven't done any pre-evangelism with them. So pre-evangelism is tilling the soil of people's hearts and mind and their hearts and getting them ready to listen to what we have to say. I don't know if you've noticed that at times it's not easy to plant the gospel in people's heart. You know, why? The soil is too hard. And Paul, the Apostle Paul talks about this quite a bit. You know, this idea, the ground is way too hard when you talk to these people. Your neighbors, your relatives, the ground is too hard. I don't know. Hey, I was leaving this evening, coming over here with my wife and my buddy, and the girl next door was there, and she says, "Are you going bike riding tomorrow?" She's not saved. She's a lawyer. I said, "I probably will, but I've got a friend that wants to go." And I said, "Hey, what about a couple of weeks from now? We'll go on a bike ride Sunday afternoon." You know, I know that the ground is hard with her, but she's actually willing. She says, "So what are you doing? Any good tonight?" I go, "You know me, I got to go preach." Well, guess what? She still wants to ride a bike with me. She still wants to do it. And so I'm trying to work the ground. I'm trying to work the soil in her life. The ground means different things to different cultures and the people that we're dealing with. In Singapore, for example, the hard ground there is pluralism, where people just believe there's no difference in what you believe and what I believe, so we're okay, so I don't need your religion because we're fine. So it would be hard to witness to those people because they see no difference between their religion and our religions. But what does the Bible say? You know, here's the hard ground. This is the hard ground that we deal with. Pre-evangelism says this: other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop, produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. So if you start to do some pre-evangelism, you're going to find some good soil. Not this here, not with that shovel. That's not going to work. But if you can find the good soil of the people that are around you, you'd be amazed what begins to happen. And that's what pre-evangelism is. You need to realize that we should be cultivating good soil. We should be reaching out to the guy that I brought with me tonight, Kelly. The first thing I ever did for Kelly and Jeff when I met them about 5 years ago was to make sure I never, ever forgot their names. That's the first thing I ever did. I made sure that I would never, ever forget their names. So when I said, "Hey, Kelly, let's play it by ear. In a couple of weeks, we'll go on a bike ride." See, "Hey, you, want to go on a bike ride?" No, Kelly. That was the very first thing I ever did, was made sure that I would never forget their names, because I have bigger plans for Kelly and Jeff. Much bigger plans for them. And that's just a little thing that I end up doing. So I'm always trying to cultivate soil. Farmers understand this principle. That we need to cultivate the soil before we plant the seeds. Now, why is it that when it comes to evangelism, we seem to forget that? We just plant the seeds and whatever ground might be there, and we get frustrated because it's not working. Other seed fell into good soil, and they grew up and increased. The crop produced amazing, amazing results. So we need to spend time cultivating good soil. Not just, "Hey, come to church." What can we do to cultivate soil? And that's what the rest of this message is about. It's great that you and I plant seeds and see the fruit sometimes. The problem is today it's not easy just to plant seeds because the ground is too hard. Your neighbor, your coworker, your relative, people you do go to school with, the ground is so hard. They have the attitude of that movie there. You know, and there's no truth, there's no Jesus, who cares, a holy book, he's a patriarchal mean guy, all those types of things. That ground is hard. Somehow we've got to cultivate the soil. So if you're going to be effective today, we need to till the soil. It's not an option anymore. As an evangelist, I can tell you. You know, you can say, "Hey, I invited him to church." Well, that's trying to plant that seed is not going to work because the soil is way too hard. It's just not an option the way it was 30 years ago, at least for me. It's just not that easy anymore. So an important question is, how do we do effective evangelism in this kind of world? We need to better understand the times or culture in which we live in. We need to understand that. And it seems to me that if you and I understand the times in which we live, we will engage in pre-evangelism. And pre-evangelism will become an important focus in our witnessing to the lost, to harvest fellowship, I believe. Not all lost are lost for the same reason. I have hostile people. I have skeptical people. I have people who are seekers, you know, and those who are ready to trust in Christ. That not all things work for each one, for these different kinds of individuals. So we need to find out what is holding these people back. If we understand the need for pre-evangelism, I think it will compel us basically to do two things as Scripture talks about. Number one is to remember evangelism is a process. The young man that I have with me today, I've been in a process with him for a couple years. The process. And Paul says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. It is a process that we are involved in. And we need to keep that in mind. In other words, you may not be able to share all 4 points of the gospel in one sitting and invite someone to trust Christ, but you can help someone to take a step closer every single day. Every single day. That's all I'm trying to do. Let's go on a bike ride in a couple weeks. Step closer. She's talking to a preacher. She's not an idiot. She's a very smart woman. But she's willing to do that. And I'm going to do whatever I can to take a step closer, get her a step closer to Jesus Christ. So it's important to understand that you are in this process when you're doing pre-evangelism. Listen to what Paul says here. This is something that we need to remind ourselves of each every day. I planted the seed, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God made it grow. I lead nobody to the Lord. I lead nobody to the Lord. It is God. And so then I think we have the wrong definition of success in evangelism. How do we normally define evangelism? We share the gospel with as many people as possible in the shortest time as possible, as quickly as possible. And that's what we do. Hopefully some are doing that. But that's how we approach it. Just quick, fast, you know, package that thing like a drive-through, as opposed to tilling the soil, cultivating the soil, working the ground of that person's heart. 5 years with Kelly and Jeff next door. 5 years working with these people. And man, getting in my car and driving here, all I could think about was, wow, what an opportunity I might have in 2 weeks. That's unbelievable. Then on top of that, I have a guy trapped in my car who I was telling him about Jesus Christ the whole time down here. Man, that's amazing. I love that. That's tilling the ground. That's taking the soil and keep working it a little bit. I'm not a farmer. All I know is my backyard is not a happy backyard. It's not happy. We have tried everything. Sod, seed, everything. Kentucky bluegrass, water, everything. It is not a happy backyard. You know? So I'm not a farmer, I don't understand it, but when it comes to people, I do understand cultivating soil. So Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. You know, and so the definition of evangelism, quickly, fast, get drive through, I think this is how we should basically define it. When we have a conversation of a spiritual nature with a friend or coworker or family member, it is done in such a way that the next time they see us, rather than waiting to run in the other direction, and this really does happen, okay? You might not know it, but if you find that, wow, I wonder why that person doesn't talk to me anymore. I had a guy proudly this week telling me how he stands up for the gospel, how if his brothers, when they're together, offer him a beer, he says, no, and I need to go. What's he saying? No, I don't want the beer. I'm a much better person than you, and I can't be here. And he's proudly telling me, and he was a great guy too, because I was able to kind of correct some of the things that he was dealing with. And I also told my sister, look how happy I am. Look what Jesus means in my life. Look what he's done for me. And I'm telling him, she doesn't know what you're talking about. She doesn't have any idea what you're talking about. But he's my Savior, and the Spirit is my life, and I know it can work. Truth in my life. She has no idea. But he's proudly telling me, basically, I've turned off every member of my family to the gospel. Amen. Everybody. It's amazing. You know, and last week, when you look at the picture of my family, that's not what I did. You know, cultivate. Keep tilling the ground. And I think that this is the idea. For me anyways, when we have a conversation of a spiritual nature with a friend or coworker or family member, it is done in such a way that the next time they see us, rather than they wanting to run in the other direction. Do you understand that when Kelly said, Eddie, did you want to go to a bike ride? I'm telling you, I know that she likes me. I know that I don't turn her off. I know that I'm not scaring her about Jesus. What are you doing tonight? Anything good? Yeah, I got to go preach. Oh, okay. How about that bike ride? See? And so every conversation, it's always been, I think every time I've said to her, I'm heading to preach. I got to go to Bible study. You know, those types of things. And she's still not turned off. That's tilling the ground. So this is the idea, I believe, of a good definition. And I think it's important that we understand that this is more what success is. That we're trying to bring people a little closer and closer to Jesus Christ. So what you and I need to do is to talk to our non-believing friends in such a way that they want to know more about Jesus. And so here's, again, that the whole definition of evangelism. Every day and in every way, helping our non-Christian friends to take one step closer to Jesus Christ. That's it. That's all I would ask you to do. You know? Every day. Now, some of you, I can feel it. I tell everybody, I can feel sometimes when the people are listening to me, they're like, they're feeling something, thinking something. Guess what I'm feeling you guys are thinking? I don't have any non-Christian friends. Don't know any. Don't know any, Eddie. I don't get that. I really don't. And by the way, I have a lot of non-Christian friends, and I don't hang out in bars and this and this. I don't. I just have a lot of non-Christian friends. I seek them out. I like them. I like hanging out with them. It'll be great riding my bike with a bunch of Christian guys and girls and such, but it's going to be even greater riding it with Kelly and my wife. That'll be even greater for me. So if you don't have some Christian friends, that's your first job Monday at work. Go find one. Okay, go find one. But this is the definition. This is just, to me, the idea of success. This is the idea. Every day and in every way, helping our pre-believing friends to take one step closer to Jesus Christ. Just one little step closer. We all can do this. This is doable. That's our task on Monday morning. We need to say, Lord, what is it that I can say, can do today that will help my non-Christian friend take one step closer to Jesus? That's it. That's all that I'm asking. That's all that we need to file in our brains when it comes to the area of evangelism or pre-evangelism. So if you're going to be effective in pre-evangelism, we need to begin to understand evangelism is no doubt, as I said, a process. It is a process that we're in. But there's a second thing that if we understand the need for pre-evangelism, that it will compel us to do, okay? And that is this idea here. What we need to do is to allow someone like Kelly, some like my friend that I brought today, come to the truth on their own. I'm telling you, I can still take the four spiritual law tracks. Give me 20 minutes, take me in Brighton, go ahead and take me in the worst part of Brighton. Is there a bad part of Brighton? Probably isn't, okay? I'll find somebody on the sidewalk, give me the track. I guarantee you I can get somebody to pray that prayer with me. Because I'm going to be so good at presenting it that they can't help but say yes. Now, they have no idea what they're doing, but I can get them to do it. So what the second part of pre-evangelism, it will compel us to allow others to surface the truth for themselves by asking them thought-provoking questions. Okay? That's it. Just by asking them thought-provoking questions. This is exactly what Jesus did when he talked to the disciples. This is the practice that he was teaching them, I believe, in how to do it. And he showed us how to do it. They asked thought-provoking questions. Sometimes the questions can be very simple. Questions like, and this is a simple question, how come, have you come to any conclusions about who Jesus Christ is? I just want to know. I'm just curious. Rick, I'm just curious. Say, I don't know you. If you have any ideas, could you tell me what you think about Jesus Christ? I just want to know. Don't answer, because I already know. Okay? But I can take, it's just a simple thing. I want to know, who won the game last night? The Broncos did, 24-17, great. Hey, by the way, Just curious. See, we're so easy to talk conversationally about other things, but not about this stuff. But we don't have to have the big question. I'm just curious. I'm just curious. Kelly, what do you think? We're driving down on a bike, riding on the bikes maybe. What do you think about Jesus Christ? Just curious about that. Or how do you fit Jesus into your religious beliefs? Well, I don't have any. Okay, good. I just wanted to know. Just wanted to know. Sometimes just asking thought-provoking questions can create open doors. It's pre-evangelism. It's just the idea of conversation with people. It really is. Because I believe if we're going to be effective in pre-evangelism, we must do those two things. We need to see evangelism as a process, which Scriptures talks about, and we need to allow others to surface the truth for themselves by asking them thought-provoking questions. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. Jesus used this idea. When a certain ruler came to him and asked, "Good teacher, what shall I do to have eternal life?" What was Jesus' response to that? He asked a question. He said, "By the way, why do you call me good?" See, why do you call me good? I'm trying to bring this home to you. Jesus is not this theologian walking around that you can't talk to. You know, the guy comes and says, "Hey, what should I do to inherit eternal life? I'm just curious. Why do you call me good? Where'd you get that idea? Just curious." That's how he responded to this guy. He says, "Why do you call me good? Because no one is good except God alone. So what are you thinking on that?" Or remember when the chief priests and scribes came to Jesus, "By what authority are you doing these things?" What was Jesus' reply? He asked a question. "Hey, by the way, guys, was the baptism of John from heaven or from man? Just curious." See, he's just curious about that. Jesus knew the value of asking questions, and Jesus knew the value of allowing others to surface the truth for themselves. You know, I guarantee you, it does take prayer and understanding and maybe even some just good insights on the people that you're talking with eventually, but it does work. You know, when he was speaking to the Samaritan woman, what was his evangelistic approach there? Did he tell her, "Turn from your sins or you will burn in hell"? "Woman, let's go. I'm busy. I got to go." No. No. He asked her questions, thought-provoking questions. And he said something like this: "Hey, by the way, if you drink of the water I give you, you will never thirst again. Just to let you know that." Maybe the light came on, huh? Maybe the light came on. And this is what I think we need to do. To talk to people in a way that they are thirsty for that living water that Jesus Christ talks about. Jesus also knew that sometimes it's best not to say all that we know all at one time. Okay? I don't know if you've ever learned that with your relatives or friends. In John 16:12, when Jesus was speaking to his disciples at the end of his life, remember what he said to them. He says, "By the way, guys, I have a lot more things to say to you, but I don't think you can handle it now. I don't think you can bear with this right now." And in our society, boy, we need relevancy. We want to be important. We know things. We're good at things, man. And we want to tell everybody everything at one sitting, it seems like. And there are so many things, I'll be honest with you, that your non-Christian friends, if you have some, okay, they can't handle all of that. They can't handle, "By the way, if you don't get saved soon, you're going straight to hell." They can't handle that yet. See? And so Jesus gives us kind of an idea, "Hey, by the way, I got a lot of stuff to tell you, but I just don't think you can bear them all." And that's what I find with people in my life. They can't bear it all. I understand that. So it's very important. So you know, sometimes it's not only our words that can make a difference, right? It's not just our words. Sometimes it's our tears, our compassion, and the heart for the lost that people see, our actions. That's as effective, and that's why this is my favorite quote, evangelism quote, of all time, right here. This is it. This is it. I love this. Basically, my idea is that preach the gospel, and if you have to, use words. See? And I love this quote. By the way, if you go Google this or something, they'll tell you that Francis of Assisi didn't say this, but who cares? The point is, whoever said it, this is a good saying. Okay, I don't really care. Maybe it was Caruso T-shirt company, because that's where I first saw it. Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words, because the rest of it means, for it is giving that we receive. For it is in giving that we receive. So why is it that we don't have a greater heart for the lost? We can easily shed tears for our families and friends. We can. See it happen all the time. But why don't we have a greater heart for those who are lost? I think this is where it begins. And I need you to understand, as an evangelist, I want to teach evangelism not from a guilt-driven thing at all. I just know there are times in my life that I'm way too busy with a bike ride. Way too busy with the British Open or something like that. And I know that I need to understand that, but maybe these three things will help you. How, maybe you can relate to some of these thoughts. I will suggest to you that there are three reasons why you and I may not have a greater heart for God. Maybe you can relate. First, we are not totally convinced of the truth of the Christian message. There are people going to hell. Secondly, we don't realize the degree in which we have been forgiven. We don't realize the degree of the forgiveness that we've received. My daughter asked me a long time ago, my 29-year-old daughter, Danielle. She was 10, 12, 13 years old. I can't remember. She says, "Dad, why is it that you do the stuff that you do? Don't understand. How can you talk to people like that?" You know, she asked me, I go, "Honey, I don't know." And I think about 2 years later, she goes, "Dad, I got it. I got it. I think I know." What is it, Danielle? "You are so grateful, aren't you? Dad, is that right? Are you grateful? You've been forgiven a lot, haven't you?" Yeah. And she was right. And so I share that with people all the time. I'm so grateful. I am so grateful. And thirdly, we forget the urgency of the task. Some days I'm not thinking about eternity, only about my flat tire, my thinning head, you know, things like that. We just forget about the urgency of the task. So that's just the ideas that I want you to understand and where I'm at on this thing. It's just important that it's a process. Don't be afraid. Success is just every day inching them closer and closer and closer. So with every head bow and every eye closed, I just want to